Pastor Joe.
And I'm Kirsten.
We've served in church leadership for over two decades.
And most of that, we've been on staff together.
We're here to talk about our faith, family, and ministry.
Welcome to Under the Hood.
That is a really good chocolate-covered pistachio.
Right?
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate-covered pistachio. And why are you eating chocolate-covered pistachios, Abby?
Kirsten had a little gift for me. Sorry, I still have one in my mouth.
Happy
Happy professional admin day, Abby.
Thank you, guys.
We have the best administrative staff that keep us on track.
They are the unsung heroes
and
of the New Life family.
Abby happens to work in the communications department, which as I do as well. And she's just the best.
Aww,
so
thank you.
So we're going to give a shout out to all the people that serve in those roles.
Chocolate with nuts and chocolate with chocolate.
So we've got Linda White, and who's the amazing Linda. And she has been on staff here. She did 20 years. And then she took a couple years off, and then we convinced her to come back. And so for the last...
everybody did a happy dance.
Everybody did a happy dance. Back. And so we celebrate her, and then we've got Abby, of course, who does a great job. Abby, how long have you been with the church now?
Almost 4 years.
Four
in May, right?
Mm-hmm. Four of the best years of your entire life.
That is correct.
Oh, my word.
That's on staff.
That's right.
I've been at New Life longer than that.
Right.
And then there's Erin.
Erin Powell.
And she works in our Connections ministry, doing a great job. She used to be doing more what Lynn is doing now, and we've done some internal movement. And Erin is now working with Cody, and that's going really good, doing a great job there. And there is Shannon, who works with our students and kids in the admin team and student team. And so just doing a great job, and I'm not missing anybody, am I? I got everybody, right?
I think that's it.
So
yeah,
today,
we don't have very many. probably need more, but yeah.
So happy admin day to all of our wonderful admins who really, it's the grease that makes the wheels go round. I mean, without the support team, it would have been really, really, really tough to, well, we'd be lost without you guys. So
oh,
Abby, thank
that's
you.
That's so sweet.
So not only does she do her amazing job, then she also puts up with us for the podcast and edits it and produces everything. So,
or you could look at it this way. I think this is the highlight of Abby's week right here.
Of course it is. This is fun.
To keep us on track.
That's hard to do.
I don't know if anybody can do that.
To make sure we don't say anything we're not supposed to.
That is really hard to do to keep us on track. That is for sure. But hey, we had just wonderful Easter weekend services here. I know we talked about that last week leading up to it, but I'm happy to report that everything went well. We had a monsoon rainstorm Easter Sunday morning. So for the first couple of services at each campus, we had the umbrellas going. And our guys are out there and ladies that were doing umbrella duty. They were soaked by the time it was all over. And but yeah, we had other than the monsoon rains that came in, I heard we got like 5 or 6 inches of rain over the weekend.
Yeah, our creek was full.
Even a tornado warning for the late Sunday
afternoon.
Service.
I think we drove through a tornado. We were headed up to see family up north, and Joe ended up having to pull off to the side of the road. I mean, you couldn't see anything.
It has
on
been
highway.
A long time since I had to pull off the highway to avoid a storm.
Oh. And literally after we pulled off, like 2 seconds later, it pretty much cleared up. Not cleared up. It cleared up where we could drive again, but it was rough. I felt like we were driving through the tornado.
Well, yeah. Well, we were heading up to Neosho. I was meeting with a lot of my family members. And so we had family coming in from Joplin and Northwest Arkansas. We're all going to meet up in Neosho at my brother's place to celebrate Easter dinner together. And we saw this line of storms and all the warnings are going off. And so we're all texting in the family. Should we wait?
Yeah.
Not go? And I'm like, we're going. And so we start heading north and we got,
but we did stop and pray first.
We did. But yeah, when that line of storms came through, we're on the highway. That storm hit so hard. I couldn't see 3 feet in front of the car.
Oof.
I could barely make out the headlights of the guy in front of me. And so everybody was pulling off the road. I found an overpass and tried to get kind of out of the storm a little bit. And then literally it just passed through quickly. And so it was probably about 5 minutes where it was really dangerous as far as visibility. So we pulled off and I'm glad we did. And then we took off and then like the sun came out and it was like it never happened.
So when people drive on the highway, when it's like hazardous, they turn on their hazards. But I'm not used to that in Chicago, when it was like rainy and stormy like that, we didn't ever turn on our hazards unless we were pulled off to the side of the road. But apparently Texans and some Texans who live in Arkansas turn on their hazards and just cruise on the road with their hazards on. Have you ever seen that before?
When I'm in Texas in a rainstorm driving through there, it does seem like
it doesn't even think it's a rainstorm.
People all turn on their hazards.
It's sprinkling.
But can I tell you something about other Texas drivers?
I'm sorry, if you're from Texas, we need to hear, why do you do that? Do they teach that in your textbook when you're learning to drive? Because that's not, I've never seen that before.
Texas gets heavy storms. But we've been down there when it's raining and people turn on their hazards for some reason.
But they're still driving. I thought hazards are when you pull off to the side of the road and you stop and you're letting people know you've got like a problem. But people around here, because I'm assuming a lot of them are from Texas or they've adopted the Texas way, they just cruise down the highway with their hazard lights flashing.
But that's not something that bothers me about Texas drivers. Can I tell you what bothers me about Texas drivers? And it's like this every time. Every time I go to Texas, I cross the state line.
This is bash on Texas.
I love Texas. I love Texas. But this is something about the driving in Texas. Maybe you've noticed this as well. And if you have, let us know. But when you cross into Texas, for whatever reason, people in Texas think that the left lane is for cruising. And I can't tell you how many times, like, here's what you're supposed to do. If you've got several lanes going on the highway, the left lane is the fast lane. That's for passing.
Yes.
It's not for just sitting there and cruising. And I can't tell you how many times in Texas, I'll get behind two cars, one in the right lane, one in the left, and they are driving the exact same speed.
Yes.
For miles and miles. It's like they've just set the cruise control.
Annoying
thing ever. And there's 2 miles of traffic backed up behind them because one car is hanging out in the left lane and they will not pass.
Did you know it's actually against the law to cruise in the left lane? And I've had a friend get pulled over for it. And I'm like, good, you should have. You're not supposed to cruise in the left lane. Now, if you're on the highway and you get over to the left lane and you're going too slow, they will pull you over for it because it is supposed to be a passing lane and slower traffic should stay to the right. However, there are times, and in Arkansas, I know, just adopted this rule. They said they will pull you over now if you cruise in the left lane. And I'm like, finally.
Did you read that online?
You know what?
Have you checked the actual laws? Do you know that's true? Do you know if that's actually
they
true?
They just implemented it like a year or two ago.
I don't know.
You can fact check me on that one.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe we should fact check. But speaking of Texas, it just seems like there, over anywhere else that I've ever been, it seems like in Texas, there's this, it's almost like, do you teach this in driver's ed?
Yeah, they get on the highway and they go straight over to the left lane.
I remember the last time I was in Texas, I was driving and this person, and I'm not advocating speeding, I'm not saying that, but I'm driving and I get in the left lane to go around traffic and I come behind this car that's just barely creeping a little bit faster than the right lane and they won't get over. And finally, they speed up and they get over and I pass. And you know what they do? They get back in the left lane behind me. I'm like, and I almost wanted to like stop or like flag them down. Like, why'd you do that? Why did you, you've been cruising left lane. Then you got to the right to get out of my
it's
way.
It's like their comfort
only to
zone.
Get back into the left. Why are we cruising in
it's
the left lane?
It's against the law.
Anyway.
I sometimes wish that I had like a little ticker to put on the back of the car and I could send messages to people
messages.
Like and say, get out of the left lane or you're driving too slow. You're illegal. Your sticker is out of date. Your gas cap is off. They could be helpful stuff too. They could be kind and it could say, have a nice day. But more than likely, I would use it to say, get out of the left lane.
Well, I talk out loud when I'm driving, like, what are you doing, dude? Like, what, get over. It's funny how verbal I become. Like, I can drive in complete silence until I see somebody doing something I don't like on the road. Like, get out of the way. What are you doing?
I know we're boring everybody, but.
Okay, we just fact checked it.
Oh,
and
you did.
Impeding the flow of traffic is punishable by a fine of up to $200 in Texas, and that's in the left lane.
What about Arkansas?
Well, that's
Arkansas as well, but okay, it's not all 50 states, it says.
Yeah, it's not.
It's the majority.
But it is in Texas? Well, nobody obeys that law.
No, they don't.
they must not be giving out tickets
I don't think they pull you over in Texas. Arkansas recently said that they will they will finally pull you over for that offense. And I was grateful for it because it's annoying.
All right, Arkansas, let's start enforcing the law. Texas, let's start enforcing the law, or at least when I'm in your state, let's start enforcing that law. And
when are you going to be in Texas?
I don't know. The people that we used to go see have moved out. Your parents used to live down in Houston. We always used to drive through the state several times a year. We don't have to do that anymore.
We should go. We should just go to Texas for no reason.
Let's go find out if they're enforcing the law in Texas.
It's an investigative trip.
That's right. We're gonna release a documentary.
We're losers.
All right. You guys let us know if you've noticed this in Texas or you've noticed this anywhere or
in Arkansas.
I do notice this happening in Bella Vista quite a bit. I do.
Well, we have a main highway that kind of runs through the heart of Bella Vista. And then we have the interstates as well. And though that's obviously when there's more than one lane, that's when you should abide by slower traffic to the right, passing on the left.
But Bella Vista
on our
Way.
Highway, yeah, like Bella Vista Way has a left turn lanes and stuff.
Yeah.
So you have to be in the left lane occasionally to do that. And I get that. But you don't have to be in that lane for 5 miles before you're going to turn.
Right.
Going 30 miles an hour.
When you're driving through Bella Vista, it doesn't take you very long. So if somebody's driving slow in the left lane and the right lane, you know it's not going to last that long.
Listen, but I really tried to wrap this conversation up and we're here talking about it again.
So coming back to Easter, we had great Easter services. I was really pleased. Attendance was really strong. We had over 2,500 people in church this weekend, which was phenomenal. I mean, just exciting to see that many people. Obviously, that's quite a bit more than what we usually have on the weekend. But what I'm really excited about is that, and what I've been praying for, and I told the church this every service, is I've been praying that something that happens on Easter would really capture the heart of people that maybe are just coming to be with grandma or coming because they're coming to visit for Easter, or that's what they do. They come to church occasionally. I was really praying and hoping that something that happened at our Easter services, we had 10 of them, so something that happened during those 10 services would really spark an interest. And I'm really excited to see this upcoming weekend, you know, who may come back. I tell you, we've had some good feedback from people, and I think there has been a little bit of that already, and there always is. So that's something that I think we should just continue to pray about, and I hope that has been the experience of all the churches all over the country, really all over the world, that Easter is a great opportunity to see some renewed interest in the Lord, and I hope he gives us that opportunity to follow up with these conversations and continue. But overall, man, great Easter.
Jokingly, a few weeks ago, I made the connection that Easter was on 420, and apparently 420 means something in the weed world,
in the weed community.
But I still don't know if I know what that means, but there's a connection. And I think I even remember back in high school, people were like, oh, it's 420.
I remember we were in Colorado a couple years ago, and we came up to a coffee shop and they had put a sign on the door that says, sorry, we're taking our 420 and we'll be back. Well,
so is that like a break time?
420 like is, it's a weed time.
Yeah, a weed time.
A weed time. And I think we can double, but basically people associate 420 with smoking marijuana. And here's why we're talking about this right now.
Well, Easter was on 420.
Easter was on April 20th,
420. And I was going to say, jokingly, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we like made a funny graphic and, you know, 420 Easter.
It was one of those little ha-ha
things.
It was
just a few of us here like, ha-ha-ha, not going to happen. Well, apparently I was wrong.
There were a lot of churches that tapped into their Easter. This is something that is actually, I think it's a quite serious issue.
I'm astonished.
I was blown away by how many churches have tapped into the fact that April 20th, 420, and all of their Easter promotions were like related to like weed, W-E-E-D.
We'd love to see you
on Easter. And there were these pastors that were making these funny skits about driving up to their church, opening their car door, and all this smoke comes out going, hey, Easter's on 420, and we'd love to have you. And I heard what one preacher goes, hey, and if you got the munchies, we got you covered too. And Easter, come, we got good food. And I remember...
Unbelievable.
They put
it out there, and what's interesting is that some of the churches... and the pastors really got dinged for it, which they should have. And then one of the pastors really defended himself, like, no, this was legit. And we're proud of what we put out there. And it was just more baffling than anything.
It was. And so for us, you know, weeks ago or even a couple months ago, we had a little chuckle. That 420.
Well, our services were on 419 and right. 20. And so we would have never really made that connection.
Never thinking in our wildest dreams that churches would actually try to capitalize on that date and that theme. And even right here in Northwest Arkansas, I know of a church right here in Northwest Arkansas that that church is a little out there, but they, and I think you have to be a little bit out there to do these kind of things.
To put that out in public.
But their whole Easter messaging was on the weed theme. And that's, I'm telling you, you guys, and I think our listeners would agree with, I don't think this is a tough sell for our listeners.
If you don't agree with us, we'd like to hear from you.
Actually, we would not like to hear from you. No, I'm kidding.
I want to know, like, are we off here? Like,
but the question is, isn't that going too far to try to reach people? Like, try, because every church tries to build that connection.
It's being worldly. You know, we used to do like that segment, It's Getting Strange Out Here.
And we still do it. We just haven't done it in a while.
It's not even getting strange. This is just bizarre. This is flat out bizarre that churches would be so worldly that they would make that connection. Now, I do realize there's people out there that use marijuana for medical purposes. That's completely a separate issue. This is bizarre that they would make light of it and use it as advertisement to entice people to come into the church doors for Easter. How much can you downplay the resurrection by using a marijuana theme for your marketing? That to me is I can't wrap my mind around it, because I can't imagine going to Joe or David and saying, hey, Abby and I have this really good marketing idea for Easter. What do you think? We would get fired.
You would
in
know
one quick.
I mean, you would know that you would never bring an idea like that to us, because
it's just so bizarre.
It's a dead on arrival idea.
The one pastor that was defending it, he had said, you know, we've thought a lot about this and prayed about it. I mean, the idea came and a few hours later we were filming. And I was like, so where did the deep thought and prayer and thinking come into play? If you thought of it in the office and few hours later you were filming, I'm like, there was not a lot of thought in this then at all.
Yeah. Well, the thing that was concerning, You see, like this guy, that was probably one of the more prominent churches. Like, his video kind of went viral. And as, like you had said, as he explained it in church the next week,
he just made it worse.
He just made it worse, because he's trying to defend it now. And he's basically telling,
using a lot of bad language.
I was shocked. He's swearing in his sermon. And
he was really upset. I don't know if he normally talks like that. I would hope not.
I don't know anything about this guy.
My guess is, if he was comfortable to speak like that from the stage at church, that he probably speaks like that regularly.
Yeah, I think in that short clip that I watched of him trying to justify that commercial they made, I think he used profanity 3 times.
I was like, whoa. Anyway, he was either very passionate or that's just part of his language. But he was he defended it like, hey, we're proud of who we are and the decisions we make and how we've invited people to Easter this year.
He complained. I think he was the one that complained.
Own it.
The people that are just trolling him on social media are just people sitting in their basement, you know, and not doing anything. But he really complained. He chastised Christians that would come against this worldly marketing ploy. He goes, we're just having fun. We're just inviting people to church. I'm like, no, hold on.
I'm all about fun. This is, there's a line. There's always a line.
Yeah.
Have we ever crossed it? Probably even in this podcast. I don't know. But there's always a line.
Well, certainly in this podcast.
I know.
But not that far.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we're all human. We all have a line, and all of us have probably crossed it at some point in our life. That is a line that shouldn't be crossed. And someone, you would think someone, and someone obviously did say something because he took offense to it, but someone should in the church, in the leadership, his peer, his wife, his elders, his staff, someone should have said, I don't think this is a good idea. I think we should pray about this a little bit more.
I think that's probably the problem. I don't think anybody in his circle or in his team is saying, I don't think that's, there's no voice of reason in that room.
I don't think by his response, he would have listened to anyone either.
No, I don't think so. But here, there's
that's what I appreciate about you, that if you came up with a stupid idea, we could come to you and tell you it's stupid.
There's plenty of people around me that tell me when I have stupid ideas.
We would say, that's a stupid idea. And you would respond with, I appreciate you letting me know that. I'll think about that. That is exactly the person you are to me. Like, that's how you would respond. And I appreciate that about you. I wouldn't respond that way. I'm not nearly as nice. I'm like, what do you mean it's a stupid idea?
But here's the deeper biblical part of this whole conversation. The Bible speaks, Jesus does, and the early apostles, everybody, it's very clear. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Mm-hmm. That there is the appearances of evil. There's these things that Christians should be very concerned, like when Jesus says, you know, do your good deeds before men, let them see it, and they'll maybe glorify their heavenly Father. There's something about allowing the world to see who you really are as a true, genuine follower of Jesus, and not these gimmicky ploys. And the problem is, When you think about weed and that kind of stuff, you associate that with partying and worldliness, and at least I do. And if you use those things, worldly things, to try to entice people to come in and hear holy things, you've got a mixed message. So obviously, if the heart behind it is, everybody's welcome here, we love you, come here. And, you know, if it's a marketing ploy, like people who would never want to go to church, and, oh, we saw this, like, we'd love to have you come get your munchies here, and they actually come and hear the gospel, that's the only way I can understand anybody trying to justify that. But the deeper issue, and why I would never touch that with a 10-foot pole,
right,
is because what you win people with is what you win them to. Well, and if you're trying to win like worldly ideas to bring them to holiness, I think that's a bridge too far. And I don't know how you can make that connection. How could you ever speak out about worldly behavior knowing that you use worldly behavior to try to entice people to come in?
Well, and people have true addictions, and people have true habits. And I mean, it's one of the reasons why we have Celebrate Recovery. Hurts, habits, and hangups. And now we're like using those things to lure them. Philippians 4:8. Mm-hmm. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of such things. And that's what I thought of. Like,
yeah,
that's telling us to not do that.
And you know, that's right. And you know, the really sad thing too, I mean, that's a great scripture reference to talk about that, because, you know, I think that kind of marketing ploy stands in stark contrast to that verse that you just said. But you know, I've been a pastor for a very long time now. You know, it's starting to dawn on me that I'm not the young guy. I'm starting to, like, I've shared that a little bit, no, I guess I'm not the young guy anymore. I'm actually the scales tip to lean the other. I learned that yesterday. We had a staff outing and I had to sit at the old people table. I just realized that.
Abby sat with Joe. Wait, so I think she's confused as to what's going on here. She's like, hold on.
We had multiple tables and I saw one table was filling up with
Are we calling Aaron an old people?
Yeah.
She's rude. One of the youngest ones.
What I'm saying, I looked over at the one table and I saw our youth team and our worship. No. And
Sonny is a grandpa. Sonny is a grandpa and he was at the kid table. He acts like a kid, but he's a grandpa. So, not fair.
I'm sitting over in the mature section anyway.
I prefer to label it. We were late. They were early. We just got there late. They filled up the first table.
This is true.
All right, I'm just teasing. But what I am saying,
Abby's like, I'm offended.
I am saying that I am realizing that where I'm at in my career.
It's okay. You can say it. You're an old friend.
I am not old. I'm in my prime. But what I'm saying is, I've been down this road a while and I've got some experiences. And here's where I'm going with that. A lot of people say that marijuana is just an innocent, harmless thing. And I really beg to differ. I have been on, I work with families. I've just had too many instances with too many families where that drug alone has caused so much havoc in a family's life. And they said,
I have a friend who said the second they can smell it,
yeah,
it instantly brings them back to this desire for it, for that addiction they have.
And what that drug has opened up them to other things. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk about how marijuana is a gateway drug. Man, I believe that with all my heart. You look at most, like I've talked to plenty of people that are trying to fight addictions, okay? And there's a consistency with a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I started with cigarettes and marijuana. Mm-hmm. I thought it was innocent. And that usually is the opening of the door. So the fact that a church would capitalize on something like that, which directly has impacted negatively so many families, destroyed families, caused the loss of life in families and regret and deep remorse and divorces and all kinds of stuff. And to use something like that as a way to entice you to come to church, I'm actually offended. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I'm in. There was the chuckle a few months back when we realized 420.
Yeah.
Then the realization that churches were actually doing this. And then defending it. I'm actually offended. Yeah. I'm actually offended. So, but anyway, I mean, we could talk about it a long time. I don't know how you guys feel as our listeners, how you feel that way, but I can tell you as the pastor of New Life, I'm offended by that kind of stuff because I've just seen it wreck too many people's lives and it's not holy and it's not godly. It's not Christ-like in any way, shape or form. And I do think that there's going to be a reckoning for those kind of behaviors. Now, I'm not saying judging the pastor's heart. That's between him and the Lord.
I prefer him to not use cuss words.
I would prefer him not to use profanity from the pulpit.
But that's one out of, I don't know how many churches use that, but obviously we know of at least two or three there's a website that I know is tracking
all of these churches using weed themed promotions. And it's pretty sad. They've been posting a lot. Hey, we found another church using a weed themed promotional.
Oh my goodness.
Like I said, I'm thinking of a church right here in Northwest Arkansas that made a big old
Abby weed. Will link the web. Just kidding. She won't.
We will not. We will not be.
Our show notes will not have any of those links.
That's right. But what I am saying, I'm not in that guy's head or heart.
Right.
I don't know what his walk with Jesus is like. The fruit looks suspicious, but that's between him and the Lord. But what I can tell you for me personally, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. I just think it's too worldly and that's not something.
Well, that wasn't our marketing. And
we went the traditional route. We went with beautiful lily flowers and white.
It was a little traditional, but it was a bright, cheerful, white, lavenderish look. However, that's not the feel of the weekend we had. We had a lot of rain. So like we said earlier, it was wet. But your sermon was amazing.
Well, thank you very much.
It was not like the traditional Easter message, and that's I think what I loved about it is that you spent a lot of time with Peter, and that whole, I think that the takeaway of God still used him and he can really use anyone. A man who denied Jesus 3 times, and I sat there listening to that message going, this is a really cool message for people to hear who are maybe only here once a year, maybe twice a year, for them to go, man, I've really messed up a lot of things, but my pastor here is telling me that God still can use me.
Absolutely.
That was a cool message for that.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, I had, as I was getting, as we're in this His Word series, so we're all about what Jesus is doing. Obviously, I'm not to the point yet in the series where I'm talking
so
about
are you
the resurrection.
Do a recap when we get to that?
No, there's so much during Jesus' last week of life, but I won't even be able to cover it all. But as I was like, how do I still talk about Easter? It's going to be a standalone sermon. It won't be really necessarily in the series, but I didn't want it to feel like we had departed the series too badly. Mm-hmm. And as I was trying to think about this, like there's every Easter, I'll be just straight. Here's some under the hood kind of content right here.
Well, that's
Easter,
what this podcast
Easter,
is for.
Easter is one of my, from a preaching standpoint, one of the most dreaded weekends of the year for me.
Why is that?
Not because I don't love it, but because how do you preach the same content year after year after year, and it still feel fresh and exciting and bring something new to the table where nobody leaves saying, heard that, been there,
I
done
know,
that.
But it's interesting that, and that's why I said what I said. There are so many people that only come to church once or twice a year. And they hear the same message both seasons. Jesus was born. Hallelujah. We have a savior. And then they come to Easter and he died on the cross for our sins. Yeah. And he died and he died and he resurrected not, 3 days later. And that's the only thing they ever hear.
Which are the two most important things they hear.
But there's so much more.
But how do you make that feel fresh and exciting and still impactful? And I can tell you where the idea
and
for this.
And still kind of stay on the theme because people do want to hear traditional message too.
Weeks ago, I'm thinking and praying about exactly what God wanted me to say on Easter. And really Peter kind of was on my heart and head, but you know, like you can't just preach a resurrection sermon about Peter. That's like, no, this is about Jesus. But I had been kind of wrestling with, you know, Peter a little bit. And Pastor John comes into my office and he goes, hey, I want to drop a song on you that I feel like God's put on my heart for Easter. Mm. And so if those of you that were here, the very last song we did was a song, a powerful song. And if you weren't here for it, you should go back. And if all you listen to is that last song. But there's this phrase. I think the song is called If I've Got Jesus, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
So there's this theme in the song that says, if I've got Jesus, I've got it all. That was a brand new song to me. I was not familiar with it. So John came into my office and he said, hey, I've just been really thinking and dwelling on this song. And I think maybe the Lord may want us to do it on Easter. He played it for me. And that's when, for me, I think something clicked because the stuff I'd been thinking about with Peter, and I'm like, you know what? Isn't that really at the heart of it? Peter thought he lost everything. And that song kind of talks about loss, regret, you know, trouble. But if I got Jesus, I got it all. And I thought, man, isn't that kind of the heart of what Peter was going through? If he had denied Christ 3 times, he thought he had lost his best friend, lost his savior, lost. But you know what? He found out that he hadn't lost those things at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was one of the, but if I got Jesus, I got it all.
It's called If I've Got Jesus by Ben Fuller.
Yeah, great song. You go, yeah. You can YouTube it, go listen. I've had people tell me that they immediately went to YouTube and listened to it. And, but when John shared that song with me, that's when it really clicked. That was the, Peter didn't lose anything at the end of the day. He had Jesus, and that was enough. And so what started to emerge was that there's a picture of what's going on with Peter and Jesus within the death and resurrection. That is the very picture of why Jesus came. So yeah, if you haven't heard the sermon, I spent a lot of time talking about what Peter went through, and he denied Jesus 3 times, and how terrible that must have felt, the regret, the feeling that he had blown it, and he had such strong convictions and he still failed. And I think about us today, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would be hard pressed to think that there's not, I mean, at least one time in your life that you violated a strong conviction for some other reason. I think we're all faced with that all the time, even as Christians. I talk with people all the time that their convictions are constantly being challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And I have people that sit in my office and just weep and repent because they violated an integrity or some their integrity was violated. But what I'm saying is if it can happen to Peter, the Peter, you know, where he had, and I do believe he meant every word he said when he said, Jesus, I will go to my death with you.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he meant that.
Mm-hmm.
But when those strong convictions come under fire, and they really get tested, sometimes we're weak. And that was what it is with Peter. And I'm guarantee you, everybody listening to me right now, there's times when they could say, yeah, my convictions were tested, whether it be for financial gain, job preservation, not hurting somebody's feelings, just to look good in front of somebody else or whatever. But that's what's going on with Peter. And then Jesus dies. And the last thing that Jesus ever heard Peter say was, I don't even know this guy. How terrible. That's a terrible feeling. But then that feeling of like, I've lost him. I've lost it. And then to come back and find out that Jesus restored him.
Mm-hmm.
So you can listen to the sermon, but Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And then Jesus gave him a chance to affirm him 3 times. And he says, feed my sheep. You are still valuable to me. And I think like the song says, I didn't lose him at all. If I got Jesus, I got everything.
Mm-hmm.
That picture became really clear in my head. And then that's why I try to capture that in a sermon. and enveloped in the resurrection. So yeah. I still told all the resurrection elements about mm-hmm. the empty tomb and all that stuff. But really the focal was, there's a picture of what's happening between Jesus and Peter that is a bigger picture of what happens with us and Jesus. And it's the broader umbrella of why Jesus died and rose to life. So,
and what's so cool is that the week before that we had like 13 plus baptisms and we played those videos of those baptisms during that song. And yeah. it was even more, you know, impactful, I thought, to see that happen. And here, I mean, you could also hear in the background their them sharing, you know, that their confession of faith and professing Jesus. So it was just a really neat, that whole
yeah moment. I think the whole service was, you know, we had a few technical difficulties we had to overcome early, but we got those managed. And the music, I thought John and his team, I musically, it was beautiful. I mean,
hey, and kudos to our church. You asked them to spread out, and by golly, they spread out pretty perfectly. Like, they'd all texted each other. Hey, what service are you going to? I'm going to go the either. Okay, well, we'll go the 11th.
Again, it was a wonderful thing to watch how we never had one service that was so jammed up you couldn't find a seat. Oh, well, you know what? 10 a.m. at the Highlands was pretty well. I don't know if you could have found very many open seats, but yeah, we got everybody
we
in there.
We still got them in. I think
4 p.m. You know, on Saturday was jammed.
Back in the day, we used to like publish our attendance or whatever, and I don't think we really do that anymore. But do you want to tell people how many we had?
Well, I know it was over 2,500.
Yeah, it was a little over 2,500 for the whole weekend between both campuses.
It was awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And whether you caught us online, which it's still online, but it was, like we said, it was rainy. So we were running around with umbrellas, but some people came in wet but they were there. They showed up.
I asked John, the first song we sang was, Christ Arose, which Christ is kind of more your typical Easter kind of song. And then he moved into a medley of three songs, and there's that Ain't No Grave song. And then it blended over to two more songs. And I asked John after, I said, was that an arrangement that somebody else had done?
He
said, no, that's an arrangement I created. And I said, man, we have to find somebody famous and convince them to, we need to have Chris Tomlin or somebody. Because that arrangement of those three
John
songs.
John is famous. Hello.
How he blended those three songs together, I think was one of the best melodies meshes that I've ever heard.
In my heart there rings a melody.
And then we had communion after the sermon, and then we did that final song. So that song that John introduced to me, they sang it as a special number at the very, very end. And that's
John
when we
doesn't like to call it a special number.
It was a special number.
Joe is so traditional. Do you guys remember back in the day? Did you grow up in church and have like special music?
I remember there would be this lady who would get up there and sing to the organ occasionally. Is that a special number?
Yeah, special number. When I was a kid, we did the special music, and I remember
it was during the offering, usually, wasn't it?
Well, ours was we like to change it up a little bit, but my sister and I did a song, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it was like bang a pot, clang a pan. And I'm trying to remember the spiritual part of it, but da 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 da, praise the Lord with all your heart. Anyway, my sister and I, do you remember the little guard behind the choir? And you couldn't
see the choir rail.
Feet.
Yeah, the privacy rail. Yeah.
So she and I had all these pots and pans behind the rail, and we clink, clink, clink. When we were singing this, our pastor finally, after like the second service, he goes, I think you should just bring those pots and pans out on the stage and do it in front of everybody. We were like trying to be secretive about it or something. The fact that my pastor let us do that and call it a special number or special music still cracks me up. But I grew up singing special music. And so it was funny, in one of our pre-meetings, I said something, I was kind of joking about it with you. And John's like, it's just a song. I'm like, it's special music. Anyway.
Well, he sang it great. And then over at the Highlands, Nathan led. It was just as amazing.
We have a Spotify, New Life has a Spotify playlist, and we make them every once in a while, and there's an Easter 2025 playlist with all those songs in it. So we can share that list with you, or you can go to Spotify and search New Life NWA.
But both campuses, the worship was phenomenal at both campuses.
It's not a recording of us. It's just the original artist who is in those.
So John sang that one, and I believe Nathan sang that one over at the other campus. But then you had Nikki and Angie and Lori. Oh my goodness.
Nikki, that song with Lori nailed it.
Ain't no grave. Yes. So Lori sang that at the Highlands and Nikki sang it here at the Reardon campus. Yes. And both of them, so I'm telling you,
we got some talent.
Good grief. I'm telling you, it was amazing. And the music was just phenomenal.
I'm going to audition with my pots and pans.
The Lord has blessed
I'm going to bring my sister back from Denver.
The Lord has blessed our church with some amazing leaders. And I'd have to sit here and think and list them all, because there's at each campus, like literally there's 3 or 4 or 5 people on our team that I think could go be worship leaders at large churches.
For sure. But
overall, I would say it was a great, great Easter. And I was pretty happy with the way the message ended up
I
appreciate you saying that. But that was kind of how that message came together. I just felt like at that point, the Lord just helped all of those pieces a couple weeks back, just really start to click of what it needed to be. And so that sermon actually came together fairly easy. I was surprised. And some sermons just, it's hard. Some just click together a little more easily. And that one came together. And I appreciate that. Thank you, Lord, that came together. So, hey, if you did not get a chance to listen to our Easter service, I invite you to go back. It's on YouTube.
I finally caught the cats jumping up on the door when you fed them. So just so you all know, these cats are really Joe's cats. He feeds them. He tells me what food to buy. He gives them fresh water. I mean, he cleans their water bowl. It's pretty pathetic, you guys. He treats the cats maybe slightly better than Brock and I.
That's baloney. That's baloney.
But we were talking about how the cats jump up on the door when you're getting ready to feed them. They can hear the food bag inside the cup hit the food bag when they're like napping or laying around on the porch, and they dive to the window like, "You're finally here. I'm gonna get some food." Which I think we should not feed them as much, because they're not gonna be good hunters, and so they're gonna depend on us completely. Either way, I was sitting recovering from surgery still this week. Just kidding. I was just sitting in the recliner, and I caught this picture of Joe feeding the cats, and it's the cats with their paws on the window like, "You've arrived and we're starving."
Well, I do have a cat update.
Oh, yes.
Because inquiring minds want to know, and I imagine half our audience just shut the podcast off, but the other half's like,
careless. Wait, I have to stop you there. I listen to Crime Junkie podcast, and I do have to say something about what you just said. At the end of Crime Junkie, and I don't think it's every episode, they do some kind of pet rescue update story. And I'm going to be honest, I turn it off.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm there for the crime.
I would imagine.
I don't care about. So if you've turned it off, well, you obviously are not hearing me, but I can relate, because as soon as I know that it's their pet, like, "Oh, there's a pet story, let us share." I'm like, I don't care. So this is the time to turn off the podcast.
We're not offended. If you
could care less about the cat update. Go ahead.
The cat update is, for those of you that are still with us, all three of you. I've never been able to get close enough to these cats to actually pet them or touch them. And I've sat on the deck. I've tossed them treats. Only one of them chases treats and acts interested in me. But but they don't run away now. Like, even all three of them, Evander, he's the most skittish. But the other two just kind of stand by my feet. I pour the food in the bowl. They don't run away. They don't really eat if I'm standing there. But Nippy just went to eating right there by my feet. And I thought, oh my goodness.
He trusted you until now.
Well, let me back up. So I was throwing him some food and I was holding it in my hand, and he actually came up and sniffed my finger, but he did not eat the little piece of food in my hand. And I'm like, that's okay, Nippy. This is a breakthrough. You're this close. And then
talk to him when you're out there.
Oh, I talk to him like my own kids. Like, good morning, boys. So then he started eating, and I thought, he's not paying attention to me at all. So I reached down and I just petted his head, and he jumped. And he jumped back about 3 feet, and he looked at me like, what did you just do? And he had a big mouthful of food, and he spit it out. And he gave me that look like, how dare you touch my head? And I was really surprised at how soft he was. And then he just ate up all the food that he spit out. It was just like, it wasn't like chewed up food. It was just, he had a mouthful. And then he ate it all up, and he came back, and I tried to pet him again. He's like, no. But I thought, finally, breakthrough. That's the breakthrough. I actually
you
touched
got
their
to
head.
Pet the cat.
Well, I don't know if it was a pet or more like a pat. It was like a.
Well, that's at least he knows that he was touched by his head was touched by his owner, and he was not harmed.
I'm not his owner. If they're
you feed them,
they're free to leave anytime they want. They're not prisoners.
And you would be very sad if they did not show up for breakfast.
I don't know. I wouldn't be sad.
I kind of am hoping that they don't show up after this bag of food's gone, because then I don't have to buy any more food. And we got like the big behemoth bag, and Joe said, that's a lot of food. And I was like, if you're going to feed them twice a day.
I only feed them once in the morning, and then a little bit if they look and be like, please feed us. I give them a little bit more.
And then the raccoons come out and they eat the rest in the bowl. Cats do, what I've noticed is that they leave food in the bowl all day so that they can come back and have like smaller meals. They're healthy cats, okay? They're healthy. They're not intermittent fasting, but sometimes we force them to.
You could learn a lot from a cat. Only eat till you're satisfied.
Yeah.
There's a message there.
They do eat, and then they leave some, and all three of them share those bowls, and then they come back, eat a little bit more. Well, if there's any left in the bowl at the end of the night, we have to run. Sometimes we see the fat raccoons, by the way.
We can't leave it out.
We have chunky raccoons, and they come finish off the cat food up there.
Unless I get there first. I do pay attention. I make sure that it's not out there. But once in a while, there's a little bit left. But
this picture of the cats coming up on the door is kind of cute. They're like, feed me, Joe. Feed me.
So there you go. We had a great Easter service, and I got to pet the cat. So, hey, it's been a good week.
That's all for today's show. We want to thank our amazing producer, Abby O'Brien. Be sure to check out our show notes and the links for things that we talked about today. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for joining us on
Under the Hood, not a car show.